bucket, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in, you believe we're in the troubling of the water tonight, whoever stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The important man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. While I'm coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you believe that, would you give him praise right now? Let's give him praise. You're the same. You're the miracle worker. You can still accomplish. You can still do it. Now, we praise you, Lord. That's it, church. Not out of ritual, but out of heartfelt adoration. We praise you. Let me ask you before you're seated, do you want God to move tonight? I believe that. I believe we verbalize it to God, but I feel like there's another little dimension here just before you're seated. I want you to just verbalize it to somebody else that's around you. This is if you really mean it. Now, if you don't, it'll feel hollow and it'll feel uncomfortable to do it. But if you mean it, just turn to somebody and say, I want God to move tonight. Apostolic flow of your spirit, Lord. Yes. Yes, and you may be seated. John painted the backdrop and the setting. He said, at Jerusalem by the sheep market, or the sheep gate, right by the city wall, the entrance known as the sheep gate, there's a pool. The translation of that word indicates a five-sided, a pentagon-shaped pool, called in the Hebrew tongue, Bethesda, the house of mercy. Bethesda is still open. You may not feel like you deserve it, but God's mercy is still open. You may not understand how God can still love you and how God can help you, but the house of mercy is still open. Aren't you glad it was open when you walked to its door? Had five porches, five arched colonnades at those five sides of the pool for protection from the weather and the elements, because there were people there who could not move very fast and who'd spent many days and many seasons there. And the Bible says in these five areas lay a great multitude. Everybody say that with me. A great multitude. A lot of people, more than are here tonight, but God can take care of every situation. He can take care of, and he can find a single individual in a great multitude. Says that in that multitude, there were important folk. They were weak. They were sickly. Their system tended to sickliness. They were helpless in their health. There were also blind people. There were also halt. People were called halt because it was a literal definition. Simply because of their lameness or weakness, they had to halt or stop as they would try to move somewhere or to walk somewhere. You know, if we've got health, got our limbs, we've got a lot to be thankful for. I believe we could create a combustion of praise tonight just thanking God for our health. Sometimes I think I need something dramatic. You know, come on, Brother Arnold, come on, Brother Johnson, come on, Brother Mangan, wow me with one of your great messages, when really all I need is to stop and thank God for my health. might stop and thank God I can put them together. I can lift them up. I can dance with them. I can breathe with it. I can speak with it. Praise God. That's it. Go ahead. There's an anointing. Go ahead. Go ahead. Somebody's going to praise God for the health you do have, and He's going to give you the healing you need. Yes, the halt were there because they couldn't do everything a lot of us can do. It says the withered were there. Those whose limbs, because of affliction or some kind of a disease, were sunken. Or it also means they were paralyzed. And the Bible says, here they all were, the halt, the blind, the withered, the impotent, the sickly. They were all there for one reason, when one alone. They were not there just to visit, although they may have visited. They were not there just to see the latest styles, although they may have been able to observe those. They weren't there to brag about their family, although they may have done some of that. But the main reason they had come to the house of mercy, they needed something from God. And they were waiting for the troubling. David said, one thing have I desired, that will I seek after. When you get the one thing mentality to come into the house of God, you are going to be blessed. It doesn't matter who's singing, who's preaching, who's there, who's not there. You come with the one mindset mentality. They were waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into that pool and troubled, stirred. As the word literally means, caused a commotion in the water. And whoever was first stepped into the pool. Now get this, this really happened. This was a real event. They all waited. And as soon as that angel got in the pool and the water started being troubled and the waves of that pool started lapping up, the first one that could get himself or herself into that pool was healed and was made whole. The scripture says, of whatever, it didn't matter what the disease was. There wasn't any gate there. There wasn't any sign there. It said, if you have this disease, the troubling of the water won't help you. If you have this sickness, you might as well give up. But when that angel from heaven came down into that pool, whatever disease the person had was removed. But you had to get in the pool, which was hard enough for somebody that was halting. And then, not only did you just have to get in, but you had to be the first one in. And so, the chances were very slim for most people who were gathered in those five porches. And then John turns his attention. He doesn't name him. He just says a certain man was there. He had an infirmity, a feebleness, a frailty of health. He had had it how long? 38 years. How long have you had your special need? How long have you faced a wall? How long have you faced a dilemma? How long have you faced the frailty of the situation? And the Bible says when Jesus saw him lying there, Jesus knew that he had been there for be healed. Now, after reading this account and being able to have the 20/20 vision of hindsight, being the great man of faith that I am, I'd say, sure, God, go ahead. I wonder. Because Jesus' presence has manifested itself here tonight and has said, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? Jesus took the initiative and spoke first. Here's the reason he did that. Because this man did not know who Jesus was. You read the rest of that chapter, and when they asked him who had done it, he said, I don't have any idea who he was. I don't know who he is. This man had been around Jerusalem, and somehow he had missed the ministry of Jesus Christ. There are people that are missing the ministry. They do not know who he is. But I will tell you this. God will initiate to the person who does not know him. We're not the only ones God speaks to. I thank God he speaks to us, don't you? Aren't you? But really, God, they don't know you. It doesn't make any difference. God, they don't know the revelation of the great God in Christ. It doesn't make any difference. They don't even know the name Jesus. Doesn't make any difference. This man did not know who Jesus was according to John chapter 5. But Jesus initiated. God can deal with somebody even though they have very little, if any, knowledge about him. And I'm preaching this because there are people in this congregation that are praying for somebody and you're wondering about that person that seems so, hear me, you're wondering about that person that seems so distant from apostolic truth that God can initiate to somebody that doesn't have the foggiest. Hey, a lot of us. Now some of us heard it since we heard it when we didn't know we were hearing it. Somebody put oil on our head and had that pretty little suit or that pretty little dress getting dedicated in. We didn't even know what was going on. But somebody was speaking the name of Jesus. Well, I thank God for that. I thank God for that. But there's some of us that didn't have the foggiest notion about all of this apostolic truth. But Jesus initiated something through somebody, through some event. Do you want to be healed? Jesus says to the man. And the man answers, Sir, I have no man when the water's troubled to put me into the pool. This man reminds me so much of me. And may I say, so much of you? He did not directly answer Jesus' question. But he immediately starts rationalizing why it can't happen. Why we can't get a miracle on a Sunday night. He says, I have no man. From man's point of view, from my mindset, this cannot happen. I'm going to tell you, there's something greater than human mindset in here tonight. And by that, I do not mean that God's going to take your mind and change it, or God's going to force you to do anything. It's going to all be your choice. But I want you to know, if you'll lay your own thoughts down, I'm fixing to do that. Lord, help me to do it right now. If you'll lay your own will and your own way down, because God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. The way I thought this service would go, it's not the way God thought it was going to go. The way I thought this would be, it's not the way God said it ought to be. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways. We just need to say, don't do this out loud, but in your spirit at least. God, your ways aren't my ways. My ways aren't your ways. My thoughts aren't your thoughts. That's why you're fixing to do something here tonight, and I haven't even been thinking about it. Or I've been thinking just the opposite. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above what we can ask or think, eyes not seen, ears not heard, what God has prepared for those that love him. The things of God knoweth no man, only the Spirit knows it. The natural man can't receive it. The important man couldn't receive what God was wanting to do for him. But God wants to do for us what he did for him that day and give us our answer. I'm going to tell you tonight something you already know, but let me just remind you, we will never understand all of God's ways. Stop questioning God. I heard it again this week. It wasn't from someone in the church, but there is, and it was from an honest and a sincere person. But when I heard them say it, I thought, man, that mentality is so widespread. They were talking about a disease that was in a loved one, and they said, they're starting to wonder, what did I do? What is, that mentality is so much prevalent in our world. Why? Blaming God, blaming situation, blaming ourselves. I'll tell you the why of much of this. It's just because we're living in an old world. And we're this side of glory, but when we get the other side of glory, there will be no more pain, no more sickness, no more death, no more sorrow. We'll never understand the ways and the decisions and the plans of God. Now think about this just a moment. God had ordained this type of ministry, the angel ministry. This wasn't something concocted by men. God had ordained that an angel would come down and would come down at a certain season and would trouble waters. And the first one in would be healed of their disease. But guess what? God wanted to change the plan. God wanted to upset the apple cart. God wanted to do something different. The important man said, here's the way I'm going to get my healing. If I can just get somebody to pick me up fast enough and throw me into that water, I can be healed. But God wanted to change the plan. And folks, God can do what he wants to do. I just got to wondering while studying this message if this wasn't some little symbolism to the Jews that, hey, we're getting ready to move from law to grace. I'm going to change the way I've always done it. I'm going to change the ritual. I'm going to change the schedule. You know, even Pentecost can have rituals. Even Pentecostals. Oh, I'm getting close to toes right now. Put your boots on and kick your feet underneath the bench. Even a Pentecostal can say, I know just what's going to happen. And guess what? It'll happen just that way for you. But God says, I want to change this thing. I want to change the way I do Sunday night service here. I want to change the way the impotent man can be healed. I want to change the way you worship. I'm not talking about changing the truth of the doctrine. I'm talking about changing from an apathetic, lackadaisical, ritualistic, mundane, day in, service out, always knowing what's happening, and it's got to just be this way, and if it doesn't go that way, that's not my way, and so I'm not going to have faith. But Jesus comes walking by, and he said, I'm going to do something that angels been doing, but I'm going to make it so you don't have to go to it. I'm coming to you. I'm going to change the plan. You know, if there's something, Mark Twain said, the only thing that lacks change is a dirty, diapered baby. You try to change something. You try to change something. I'm talking about a sacred cow. I'm not talking about the doctrine. I'm talking about a sacred cow. Can be anything. And I'm not just talking about in the church, but it does apply there too. You try to change something. Oh, man, it's like... Jesus said, I'm going to change this. This is the way I always do it, God. Could it be that God wants to change you? Could it be that God is saying, all right, out of law into grace. No more an angel. It's going to be, I thank God for angels, but if you're going to give me a choice, I'll take Jesus. This wasn't some other God that was at odds with the God of the Old Testament that had ordained this way of ministry. Jesus is the God of both Testaments. He's the Jehovah of the Old. Become Jesus of the New. He decided there's going to be a new way. There are times that God says, it's time for you to move to another dimension in your walk with me. Now maybe to some folk it's just another Sunday night, but for somebody it's a new dimension night. It's time you step up into that next dimension of faith for your life. It's time for you to do something you have never done before. Maybe like this man, he was about to do something he had only dreamed of before. Only a wish, only a dream. But God was going to help it to become a reality. God wants to make it a reality for you. I'm going to tell you, it's not just wishful thinking. Hear me, church. The things that God's been prodding you and prompting you with, that the devil likes to tell you, that's just your imagination. That's standing in the front of somebody. That's standing in the way. But it's not your wishful imagination. It's the voice and the prodding of the Holy Ghost. My God, that I feel in this place. That's saying, I want you to become. I want you to do my will. God is ready to do something different in your life. And then this man makes a heart-rending statement. It's almost a plea for help. He said, but while I'm coming, somebody else steps down before me. It wasn't the fact that that man was just sitting there. He tried to get it. You would have had to have had his kind of need. Not so much the physical, but the emotional, the mental need. Folks, he was desperate. He was limited. He was frustrated. And then to have the healing and the answer so close, he said, while I'm about to step in, well, I'm going to get it tonight. It's going to happen tonight. It's going to happen in this meeting. Things are going to be different after this service. Things are going to be different after this summer. Things are going to change. And as he was about to step in, somebody else stepped in. This is what the Holy Ghost is saying tonight. The new dimension of your life is so close. I want to say that again. The new dimension of your life is so close. It's been as close as a service like this one, where the Holy Ghost is present to do anything that we need in our spiritual life. It's been that close. And while you were about ready to step in, something hindered. In the name of Jesus, you should rebuke the devil and rebuke the mindset that fears and doubts. Let me just address this. Not everybody that comes to church or in the church is spiritual minded. They're easily distracted away from spiritual things. Their priority and their mindset is more other things. They are things oriented. They are schedule oriented. They are time oriented. And while we're trying to step in, something hinders us. So close, but so far away. I preach to somebody tonight. It's been as close as your yielding as the worship and song service was taking place. About to have it. Is there some hunger in your soul? Is there some hunger for God? Is there some hunger for faith? Is there some hunger for prayer? Is there some hunger for spirituality? Is there some hunger for the miraculous? Is it, oh God, just so tired of going through the mundane. So tired of the 1, 2, 3. Oh, I've been around for 25 years. I know how to do it. I've been in the way for 35 years. I know how to do it. I've been around. I'm a senior member. I've got membership. I've got heritage. I've got a mom and dad. I just know how to do it. And all of the time, that just simply is nothing but a hindrance. But it's been so close. A hunger that says, I'm going to go beyond what anybody else says or thinks. Don't let the carnal minds hinder you from getting something from God. Carnal mind camouflages themselves in spiritual attire, but they still hesitate to go after the moving of the Spirit of God. I want to tell you, it's close to somebody. You're feeling a stirring in your spirit right now. You felt it in days that have gone by. It's no accident that this message comes to your heart right now. There's a hunger, there's a stirring, and all kind of things can keep us back. But it's been as close as being raised in this all of your life, but knowing that something is missing. Been in it all my life, but there's just some place I know I need to go, and I have not been there. God wants you to go there. And not only does God want you to go there, it is the will of God for you to go there. And it is not the will of God for you to stay beside the pool underneath the beautiful colonnade. Yeah, it's beautiful there. Yeah, there's a lot of people there. It feels comfortable there to an extent. But oh, there's something. Do you want Him to touch you? Do you want that difference? You willing for that change? It's been as close as the move of the Spirit during the ministry of a special song or the ministry of the choir. God, let me tell you, I wrote this down. God spoke it to me so emphatically. God wants to do something for a long time, Pentecostal, and you are never going to be the same again. God wants to do something for a long time, Pentecostal, and you'll never be the same again. I give you a personal testimony. God reminded me of this today. Almost exactly 3 years to the day prior, to the day that I became pastor of this church in 1981. 3 years, almost, to the day. During a youth week in March of 1978, the building was arranged a little bit differently, and the pulpit would have been about right here. Brother Arlen Ray Foss was preaching a message. It wasn't a weekend. It was a weeknight. It had snowed that week, so we didn't have the biggest of crowd. But on that night, somehow in his ministry, in this message, he called for me to come to his side. Brother Black was our pastor at that time. He called for me to come to his side. And while he was preaching, he laid his hand upon my head. And because of his anointing, because of the power of God upon the man of God as he was preaching. The glory of God fell on my life. I remember it to this day. I'm not going to tell you it was that day that God spoke to me. I had no dream. In fact, just weeks prior to being selected as the pastor of this church, I refused in my spirit until one day in a prayer meeting all alone, right standing right over here. In prayer, God said, if you'll do what you're doing now, you can do what I'm laying my hand upon. And to an unsuspecting situation, I believe it was then that God put an anointing, which I thank Him very much for, upon my life. My point is this. Something happened on that night that changed me forever. And it changed my destiny forever. And God is no respecter of date. He's no respecter of person. And I'm going to preach very bold-faced. And I hope that you listen to me tonight. You're seated here. But there, God wants to do something in your life, this very service, that will forever change your life. And He told me it will change the life of Apostolic Pentecostal Church also. It's just that close. And while I was about to step in, and while I was about to yield, something else jumped in my way. Young person, don't let peer pressure get in your way. Don't let the call and the pull of worldliness, Hollywood, the sports world, evil, whatever it is that may be luring to you, don't let it get in your way. Middle-aged parents, families, middle-aged persons, don't let anything get in your way. There is somebody in that category that God wants to forever change. He's doing something different. It's not going to be the regular 1, 2, 3 of praying. Somebody, you get as desperate as that man was for his healing, they get for God. You know, it's one thing to be important and paralyzed physically, but it's another thing to be paralyzed spiritually. I sense, I've got to be honest, I sense the spirit of paralysis in this very service tonight among some good people and among some good people. But I also sense the healer. He wants to freeze you. Fear, unbelief, doubt. And just as you're ready to step in to get that life change, something comes in the way. I'm going to tell you, if you yield to God, if you will yield to God, a more wonderful thing than a physical healing is going to happen to you. It has been as close as this altar. If you would have just made your way to the place of prayer upon obedience to the preached word of the Lord, it's been close. It's been close. I preach to somebody, it's been close. But season after season and year after year, the man kept missing his miracle. He said, it's always going to be this way. I'm always going to miss my miracle. But what was true on that night long ago is true on this night in 2002. Jesus came walking by. Jesus is in the house. I know we say that a lot. Brother Spaw has made that statement already tonight. The Lord is here. The Lord is here. We can say it so often that it has little meaning to us. We can realize it so often, or maybe not realize it, and it has little meaning to us. But Jesus came walking by that day. Jesus is also walking by in this service. And He has seen your attempts. He has seen your endeavors. He has seen your heart and your desire. Man can only see the, all I can see is the outside. But God sees the hunger of your soul. God sees the hunger. God sees the desperation. And that Lord God is in this church building to do a work that has eluded you in the days and the years gone by. He said, I don't have anybody to put me into this pool when the water gets troubled. He was worrying about the how. How is it going to happen? I tell you, when Jesus is here, you don't have to worry about the how. Well, what if I go up there? And what if I act on what Pastor is preaching tonight? And what if I break out of my place and go and fall on my face before God. That's holding. Somebody's already wanted to come to this altar, and it's holding you back. What if? I'm tired of skirting the devil. I'm tired of playing games with him. I'm just going to address him head on. The what ifs are killing people. What if? You don't have to worry about the how when Jesus is in the house. Now, if we're dependent on our own flesh, then the how will blow our mind, and we'll never be able to figure it out or understand it. How and what's going to happen? I have no man to put me into this pool. God is able to do miraculously above our imagination, above our expectation. I preach to somebody, I'm pouring out my soul to you tonight. You are so close. You are so close. I'm not talking about you being lost. I'm talking about you doing a dimension in God that's going to break this city wide open, going to break this church wide open. Somebody just this night told me about a vision that they had. Somebody told me about something they saw in their mind that God gave to them that said, God wants to fill this church, and he wants to fill this altar, and he wants to fill lives and hearts with the power of his spirit. But what if? But if Jesus Christ of Nazareth is here, anything can happen. Step out. Go to the dimension of faith. Go beyond where man says you can go. Go beyond where the devil wants you to be. Go beyond. I'm going, God. I'm going. I'm going there. I don't understand. I don't understand. This man didn't even know who he was. Didn't even know who he was. Come on. Come on. And when you get here, believe Jesus of Nazareth. Believe Jesus of Nazareth. You can doubt me, but believe Jesus of Nazareth. When you get to your place of prayer, you want a change. God will give you a change. God will give you a victory. God will give you an answer. There's revival for you. There's revival for your family. Hear me, there's revival for your family. You've been praying, holding on for sons and daughters. But the crux of it rests with you. The crux of it rests in your being so close, saying, God, I can't do this. I can't do this. But you can do it through me. I'm going to let you speak. I'm going to be used in gifts. I'm going to be used to minister. God wants to touch somebody with a spirit of intercession tonight. A spirit of intercession that will break chains that are on souls. Tears are going to course from your cheeks like a fountain that cannot stop. And don't you stop it. Not just tonight, but days ahead. I'm going there, God. I'm going there. I've been so close. I've been just about to do it. Go ahead. Go ahead. Yes. I've been just about. Yes. Go ahead. Hallelujah. That's it. Go back and pray back through again. You had the Holy Ghost 40 years. Pray through again. You've had it for 25 years. Go back. Take me back, Lord. I need that new place in you. I need that fresh anointing in you. I need that new stirring in you. Oh, God. Yes. Yes. Go after it, ladies. Go after it, sisters. Go after it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You've been to the about-to place too many times. Hallelujah.